Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Though many scheme their way to power in politics, it's actually God who sets up the leaders of nations. History has been called His story, and rightly so. Today, more details on the decrees of God, one of the mysteries about God with which we must come to grips. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the mysteries of God. Now, join Dr. Lutzer as we learn more about God's eternal decrees.
It is God, the Bible says, who raises up people over nations, and then he takes them down. I could give you a verse. Promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is judge. He brings down one, and he puts up another. And Daniel says, he is the one who chooses who are the leaders of men, and sometimes over them puts the basis of men. And history has certainly borne that out. And then what do you think about the history of Jesus dying on the cross? The Bible says this in Acts chapter 4, verse 27. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate among the Gentiles and the people of Israel. Now catch this. You are focused. I know you are. To do whatever your hand and your plan predestined to occur. Sometimes people say, Pastor, do you believe in predestination? Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. All Christians believe in predestination. The word occurs many times in the New Testament. The debate is exactly over how it should be understood. But here, the death of Jesus Christ was predestined to occur, and it occurred at the time that God chose it to occur. All under his sovereign hand. History, it has been said, is God's story. Now, what about salvation? What about salvation itself? Now, I want you to think with me, and I know you are, but I just want you to grasp this. Was the fall of man in God's economy plan B? Did God say plan A is that Adam and Eve walk with me and they don't sin and they live in paradise? That's plan A. But you know what happened is they sinned, and so I have to do plan B. I'm going to send Jesus to clean up the mess. Is that the way it was? No. It redemption was in God's heart for as long as God existed. Amen. He created in order that he might redeem. How could we possibly be chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world if God back then wasn't already thinking redemptively about Jesus coming to redeem us? Of course, redemption was in God's heart from the beginning. All things are encompassed by the divine decree. I told you we were getting into some deep water, but isn't it thrilling water to know that God ultimately has all things in his hands? Now listen very carefully. God would never have chosen a plan that would go horribly wrong unless he intended to use that plan for his own glory. Do I need to say that again? God would never have chosen a plan where things would go horribly wrong, and clearly things have gone horribly wrong. God would have never chosen a plan like that were it not for the fact that he would use this terrible wrong ultimately for his glory. It has to be that way, because everything is for the glory of God. You say, well, explain to me exactly how, you know, the terrible events in the Middle East, or the terrible mudslide, or the tsunami, and all these dead people. Explain to me how this brings glory to God. I can't do that in detail. We have some hints because, well, one of the limitations I have is I'm not God, so my explanation fails here. But we do trust that that's exactly what the Bible teaches. And you know, it does say that his judgments are unsearchable. We should search them out to the extent that we can, but we do have very great limitations. Let me give you a couple of verses. As I say, they're free today. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has given him a gift and now he owes a gift to that person in return? For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Notice this. Everything is from God. Everything is through God. Everything is for God. And so everything has an appointed end, even evil. Wow, he doesn't do evil, but he uses evil. There's a fourth characteristic of the divine decree. And that is that it is all for God's glory. I've already emphasized that. It's all for God's glory. We could go through Isaiah and find out that God says, I created everything for my glory. We could go to Jeremiah, the whole house of Israel was chosen for my glory. We could go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, that we were chosen to live for the praise of his glory. John Piper points out that God is relentlessly self-serving. Everything has to do with him. You say, well, I don't like that very much. Why, he doesn't like the ego in us. Why does God have such a big ego? Well, you have to understand something. Because he's God, he's going to value that which is most valuable in the whole universe, which happens to be himself. And so obviously, because he's God and we aren't, he has the right to do everything for his own glory. You say, I don't like this God. I can imagine somebody listening to this is saying that. Well, isn't that something? You don't like this God. So you think God is going to change because you don't like him? I don't think so. You could become angry with him, which is a bad reaction and a fruitless reaction. You could, on the other hand, submit to his sovereignty and find life eternal. Now I have to deal with one objection, which of course is in your mind, and I can't do this in detail. I've actually written about this because in the history of the church, there's a great deal of debate and discussion regarding free will. It's a complicated topic, not as easy as you may think. So how does this relate to man's free will? Well, the point is, first of all, God always works through the human will to bring about his purpose. He never violates the will. There's nobody out there who says, well, I don't want to do this. And God says, yeah, I've predestined you to do it. God will work in their hearts to bring about a disposition to do something. So he never violates the will. We aren't puppets. On the other hand, the Bible is very clear, and this is where we are on the edge of mystery, and certainly even beyond the edge of mystery, that God does hold people accountable for their actions. No question about it. If you ask exactly how that relates with his sovereignty, nobody has ever been able to satisfactorily figure all that out. We know that both are revealed in the Bible. And if you're listening to this today and you say, well, you know, the Bible talks about election and predestination. I don't know whether or not I am predestined. So if I'm predestined, well, then let him come and tell me. I have a better idea for you. Why don't you find out whether or not you're predestined? You can find out, you know, I mean, so don't argue with God about this. All that you need to do is to come to Jesus, humble yourself, admit your sin, receive him as your substitute and your Savior, and you will know that you have been welcomed by God because whosoever wills may come, and therefore you then know that you are elect. You can't go wrong doing that, can you? Just receive Christ as Savior, and then you'll know that you are a child, a son, or a daughter of the Most High. So let us rejoice in the fact that the invitation is open to everyone. Now it's time for some take-home truths. Many of you, I'm sure, don't know that my lovely wife, Rebecca, is the chief cook and has been for years for our Christmas staff party for all of the staff of the Moody Church. And that's all of the staff. So she goes shopping. Occasionally I have helped her, but sometimes I recognize the fact that she knows exactly what she needs to buy. But she always likes to, and of course, once she begins to prepare the food, she gets lots of help and so forth. But the thing that she likes to do is to make sure that there's more food than we need, and she delights in having leftovers, because what she does is she takes containers, and some of the staff know that, and she loves to fill those containers so that people can take things home with them from the dinner. Well, we've had quite a dinner here looking at the sovereignty of God, I would say, and so you're asking, what's the take home? Well, I'm going to give you three words that you can take home today. And you'll see their transforming power. The first word I want you to take home is the word acceptance. Acceptance. The ability that God is giving to you to accept your circumstances and who you are, because after all, He's God. And He's determined some things about you that you can't change. For example, your appearance. You may look into a mirror and wonder where God was when you were put together. You say, so-and-so is beautiful, so-and-so is handsome, and here I am. Well, it's God who gave you the raw material. You can do some things maybe to get spruced up, but the fact is that your DNA, you're who you would be, the members of your body, as we noticed when we spoke about God's omniscience, were known to Him from the beginning, and you are who you are. Could I invite you to accept yourself? My dear friend, I have discovered that in acceptance there is peace. Isn't it wonderful to know that you don't have to compare yourself with somebody else? You don't have to wonder as to why you are who you are over against someone else whom you may admire. The simple fact is you can exist for the glory of God. You can live for the glory of God no matter who you are. And God is the one ultimately who has determined all things. And in acceptance, I repeat myself, there is peace. You know, I can't help but think that there are many of you who perhaps have never connected with us. You're blessed by this ministry. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you were to become an endurance partner? That is, somebody who connects with us regularly, who gives and who supports. If you want to know more about this, here's what you do. You go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or you call 1-800-215-5001. We hope to hear from you.
To ask why God does what He does is to go where angels fear to tread. Next time, coming to grips with His sovereignty and obeying His commands. The Mysteries of God can be yours on CD. All 8 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.